Hey, everybody, it's the Market Sniper. Delighted to have a very popular guest back with us. That is Bill Holter. Bill Holter was involved with Gatta right along in the early days, along with Jim Sinclair, nowadays affectionately known as Mr. Gold. Bill, glad to have you back. How are you keeping?
I'm well. Thanks for having me, Francis.
Absolute pleasure. Wow. We've got stuff to talk about. And in our preamble chat, we both have an interesting take on the dollar. Of course, the dollar had a very bad last few days at the moment. And I suppose it's a slightly long form question, so bear with me here. But the debt has devalued. We've got record shorts on TLT, which is the 30-year ETF, especially since Druckenmiller, Paul Tudor Jones declared their short positions in November. That would have been after they got the trade on, I'm sure. So they probably put it on mid-year last year. I still consider them all pretty late, but none the matter. So we've got record shorts on the debt. We've got a record interest payment at the moment. And I would imagine the government that's looking like when doggies bite, as we had in as our subtitle on a recent presentation, we're clearly seeing an intent to cut. There is no more scope. America's credit card seems to be cut up. So there's a lot of things going on. What's your take, and how do you see this working with dollar strength or weakness?
Yeah, the fact that you mentioned that the 30-year Treasury's got record shorts, I think you've already seen part of the move of the short going from the mid-high fours to now just over 4%. So that's short-term stuff. When you're talking about structural things, the math no longer works out. I mean, we're going to pay this year probably just north of $1.5 trillion in interest. And another thing that people are, it amazes me that very, very few have even spoken of this. There's $10 trillion that needs to be rolled over this month, or this year rather, and over the next either 3 or 4 years. There's $28 trillion that needs to be rolled over, because what Janet Yellen did was she crammed everything in short. Everything that they issued was short duration. So all that stuff is going to be coming due this year heavily and for the next 2 or 3 years. That's a problem. That floods the market. Who's going to buy it? And the obvious answer is the buyer of last and only resort will be the Federal Reserve. The dollar Cayman is Island. Lost.
I say the Cayman Islands, they've got it.
Right. From a structural standpoint, that we have a potential double whammy coming, and I think that's where it's going to end up, is that you're going to see further devaluation in treasuries. And remember, that's the foundation for the global financial system. And I think we're going to have a very big devaluation of the dollar. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean on the USDX, but you're already seeing it happen with gold and silver. You're seeing it happen. Gold at $29.50 or wherever it is, it was just a year ago, it was 2000. So you're looking at almost a 50% move upward in gold, which gold doesn't do anything. It doesn't go up, it doesn't go down, it doesn't do anything. It's the measuring stick, the dollar, that's gone down. So I think we've got a double whammy coming, devaluation of both the dollar and treasuries.
And it seems that they're going to do left foot, right foot, because actually I feel everyone's missed the first leg of the treasuries. We called it at the late end of 2020 after the ridiculous quantitative easing that was done post the CV19 events. And as you mentioned back to me, there's too much of the record short, too many people standing on one side of the ship. So it probably points, there's two valves for releasing some of the pressure. It can't solve the problem. It'll just slow it down. But you have the currency valve and you have the debt devaluation valve. It's probably time for a bit of currency devaluation, isn't it? And how does that tie in also? Because the two big expenditures on the income statement, I'm really interested in your take on this, interest payments. So a bit of a disinflationary feel for the consumer and the stock market's coming off, rates coming down, will orchestrate a reduction in the interest rate payments. It does also put a bid under a very unloved treasury market and puts the shorts under pressure, especially those that entered late near the lows. And on top of that, those points aside, that'll be very supportive. They're cutting the military industrial complex. I feel this whole theater that we saw with Vance, Trump, and Zelensky, it's all three big egos, obviously. But in actual fact, America needs to not have that war anymore. It cost them $350 billion, and they want to say, we're not funding that anymore. It's time the money got spent in our own country. We needed less. They already over-contribute to NATO. They over-contribute to the United Nations. We could be seeing withdrawals or renegotiations going on there. And that's going to lead to a right-sizing of government. I can't help but feeling that the overdraft being pulled, we're talking about the right sizing of America. And I don't think, even though it's the right action and behavior, it almost feels like too little, too late, we're too far gone. The 10X opium guy who's taking ridiculous, copious amounts of opium, you can't put the green smoothie in front of him and turn him around when he's so far gone. You need more taper. And we just don't have the runway to do it. What's your take on that?
Let me tackle Ukraine first. I think that's the easiest. I think it's pretty clear that what is going on, what's going on behind the scenes, this is clearly the United States and Russia divvying up, if you will, Ukraine. The United States is going to get the mineral rights. Russia is going to get a lot of the land back that they lost when the Soviet Union broke. So I think what you're looking at there is they've already cut a deal in the background and basically divided Ukraine. What it's going to look like afterwards, I don't know, but it's going to look smaller. As far as the right sizing of the government, I'm going to say it's too late to do that. Just from a math standpoint, and I've talked about this, and I don't know anyone else that has spoken. I mean, when I first heard about Doge and what their plan was, you know, to cut billions, you know, a trillion or 2 trillion, what people are missing is that spending, that money no longer makes it onto the streets. So if the money doesn't make it onto the streets, then, you know, things naturally slow. Add on top of that, the tariffs, you know, I don't know exactly, nobody really knows what they're exactly going to look at, but the bottom line is when the world raises tariffs against each other, trade slows, it does not speed up. So there's even more cash flow that does not occur against a backdrop of more.
Prices going up.
Right. That's your stagflation. You get a stagnant economy and inflation at the same time. But the problem with that is against the backdrop of the amount of debt outstanding, the debt structure, if the math doesn't work now, as far as making the debt service payments, it's surely not going to work later when there's less money on the streets and there's less trade and less cash flow being generated. So I think that's what we're looking at.
Which, from just joining a few further dots to spell it out for the viewer, it sounds like the cutting, and we're talking about mass redundancies, in particularly in government initially, all the fluffy jobs, all the cultural Marxist type jobs, they go first, but right. Then you start getting into some people that actually might do a little bit useful but are overpaid, and then you start getting into some people that are actually probably justified in a normal economy, but it isn't that normal economy, and you get round two and round three cuts. It kind of feels like it tips you into a recession that turns so bad the recession tips into a depression, because the feedback loop is continually spiraling tighter and inward. And the less that money goes in, you're actually having a deliquid. We're drawing out the liquidity now. because the consumer won't get it. The salaries won't be paid. The rents won't be paid. The people then can't buy the houses of the government guy who's been laid off because there's a glut of housing. Those prices start to drop, and it leads to a full asset price revaluation. And that's part of the financial deleveraging that we should have done a long time ago. Is that a fair synopsis?
Yeah, that's good. And I would say that you mentioned a recession turns into a depression. It's been that way since the 1990s, which is why every recession has been aborted. We've not had, we had the COVID recession, of course, but they pumped trillions of dollars into the system. 2008, 2009, you had, fiscal madness pumping money into the system. And you had the Federal Reserve secretly lend, that we found out 2 years after the fact. They lent either $16 or $17 trillion all over the world. The point I'm trying to make is we cannot have a recession, because a recession at this point leads to exactly what the greatest fear of the Federal Reserve has always been, and that's pushing on a string, not being able to reflate, and the entire credit structure coming down. And that's where we're headed. And of course, we're not even talking about derivatives. Add derivatives in, and it happens literally overnight and in a nuclear fashion.
That's just the instant disintegration of the banking system, which is where all most people's money is held. All your current banking balances are inherently at risk right now in a banking system where you have all those things and then the contagion of derivatives. So in short, you'll come down to what gold and silver you own, and if you paid your home off. And of course, the value of that will be a lot lower because there's no financial engineering for someone else to come and buy it. And that's when BlackRock stands up and becomes a mass acquirer of property and many other things. And that's also when suddenly we find they quite seem to be rather well prepared for a CBDC stroke UBI system where large amounts of personal control and biometrics are forfeited for a technocratic communism, a Bolshevism of sorts.
Yeah, I've said that all along, is that we will end up with a central bank digital currency, and it won't be forced upon us. The public is going to beg for it, because that'll happen after a crisis or in the middle of a crisis. And, people will understand that there's no way out because their assets have already collapsed in value or even been confiscated in a great taking. And the population is going to beg for a CBDC.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's how they always do it, with the problem, reaction, solution. Everybody is in such horrendous reaction. You create sufficient pain. You create social unrest. You create food shortages. They've obviously been acquiring quite a lot on the agricultural food creation space as well. That hasn't gone unmissed by us. What's the risk? We all know gold is the answer as real money, and at a personal level. But what's the risk? These people, I consider gold as truth money. Everything is derived and a derivative, a form of it, or without being the true thing. What's the risk, and what plan do you think they may have for us? Because they will have gamified this to a great degree. Are they going to rely on a Gestapo-like rat your mate out system and make it illegal to own, and confiscation, a forced sale at a certain CBDC value, where you get given, some electronic wallet tokens of meaningless value, but might sound significant relative to your friends, but not really in the long term as they inflate away and continue to create. How could we be wrong in terms of future proofing ourselves about just being a gold holder?
Right. Well, first off, just to go back to the absolute basics. Gold and silver as money are the only, if you want to call them currencies, they're the only currencies, only money on the planet that cannot default. They cannot bankrupt. So they will be the last two men standing. It's very interesting. I'm kind of going to come at this from the side door. It's kind of interesting to see the talk about revaluing the treasury gold. The only problem with that is, A, is the gold there? B, if it's there, is it encumbered, or does the U.S. still own it? I think the answer to both of those are going to be no. That obviously breaks confidence, along with hearing, like last night, during the speech that Trump did, he spent 5 minutes talking about ridiculous things that money's being spent on. That breaks confidence. The entire system only runs on confidence. Gold and silver don't run on confidence. They have value because they are. Now, if they revalue gold to the $2,900 that it's at right now, it's not even $800 billion. So let's say they revalue it tenfold to 29,000. That's only $8 trillion. They would effectively have to revalue gold to cover the $37 trillion, which is the on-books debt. That's not talking about Fannie Mae, Ginny Mae, Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security. That amounts to over $200 trillion. But to back the current debt, you're talking north of $125,000 an ounce. Now, to implement that, they're going to have to come in on a Friday afternoon and say all trades on LBMA, all trades on COMEX must be settled today. They're going to have to close everything out, because if they don't close everything out and they revalue gold to whatever number it's going to be, it will wipe out any and every short, whether it's one contract or 10,000 contracts. So that will blow up the entire derivative structure unless they have a closeout before the revaluation. And again, it'll happen on a weekend. It'll probably happen on a long weekend, maybe the 4th of July. That would, in my mind, most fitting, if you will. But the problem with that, again, is what does it do to derivatives? Now, does that build, and this assuming that we have the gold, or the audit shows, the gold's there, it's not encumbered. Now you're talking about a massive, massive, I mean, if we went to $120,000, $25,000, you're talking about, what is that, like an 80-fold? What would it be? No, it'd be 30, 50, yeah, 30-fold, whatever. The point being,
38-fold, 40. Yeah.
Then what happens is now you've got to wonder, do they try to confiscate or not confiscate? And I can tell you, in the United States, a confiscation is not going to work. People are going to just say, piss off. I'll just sit on my gold. I won't do anything with it. It can't be illegal for me to have it in my house, no matter what they say, like FDR's thing, you could only have 5 ounces. People are going to say, piss on you. Come and get my gold.
And a lot of boats, the amount of a lot of boats are going to sink. A lot of boats are suddenly going to sink over a weekend as well, with lots of police reports of going fishing with your best. Sorry.
Yeah. And that's going to create unimaginable dislocations. And again, I keep going back to the debt structure. There's too much debt outstanding. There's too much leverage everywhere in the system, from the smallest to the biggest. And when I say the biggest, I'm talking about the central banks themselves. I mean, look at the Fed, look at the BOJ, look at the ECB. They're all technically insolvent. They all have negative net worths because their bond portfolios have collapsed. So the only weapon they have is just to create more of what's being devalued. Now, going one step further, I think people should understand that Trump understands this. Trump is a gold guy. Trump's background in his family is the John Birch Society. It's gold mining in the early 1900s. Trump understands gold, and thus understands the dollar. If he wants to truly bring manufacturing back onshore to the United States, there's only one way to do that, and that's to devalue the dollar. So I think that is devaluing the dollar. I'm not sure they want to give up the reserve currency status, but devaluing the dollar, officially devaluing the dollar, is in the cards.
And in actual fact, for quite an extended period, we've had the relative strength of the dollar. So it's even, it doesn't have to be dramatic. You could have 3 or 4 years where the dollar's just in the bottom third, you know, not much above a couple of, you know, emerging market nations, but not the worst. But it can compound against the euro, the pound, most times negatively. And you could do that for 5 or 6 years and just be a little bit off. And that in itself would work.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think there's not 5 or 6 years left in this game.
No.
I mean, this game is ready to explode. But I think they understand whatever they're going to do, they better do it now while the system's still, you know, relatively standing. Because what they do, is going to knock the system down.
Mm. 100%. No, we on that point, we actually concur. They might. These are all things supposedly that they could attempt, none of which I believe actually could save us from what you and I both expect are coming. The downdraft to be so severe that the knock-on second round and third round effects of contagion are going to inevitably be brutal for so many people. I just think they might have that as a policy idea without trying to be... The whole idea is they don't want anything to become disorderly. So they'll say, well, we'll do a consistently regular disorderly. I mean, gold's only made recent new dollar highs, but it's been at highs against the pound, the euro, and the yen for quite a while. So that's what's illustrating that they've had a period of relative strength. And they might think, well, we'll try slip it, let it slip. But I still don't feel that, as you say, that can change anything. And if with all the statism to go. I mean, even Elon was even highlighting how many economists and PhD work for the Fed. You know, they had about 500 here and all of that. I mean, that's small beer, but it's still massive for what they do. And it's very difficult not to see a much smaller public sector coming out for America, which actually, again, is the right thing, but way too late. And it's the contagion. It's, you know, it's taking the people off the drugs when they're just about... you know, so self-reliant that just the changing of the system kills them. So what would, is there anything you would do? How would you counsel them? Because they're actually doing the right things. They're just doing the right things too drastically and far too late.
That's a tough question. Like you said, too drastically, far too late. I mean, mathematically, it doesn't matter what they cut. It really doesn't. When they cut, as the cash flow doesn't make it into the economy, you're going to see the asset values, in other words, equities, dropping in value. You'll probably see, which was again?
Housing, especially with interest rates and the cost.
Right. Well, housing is going to follow commercial real estate, which has already crashed. And now, as of yesterday or the day before, they're talking about putting up 443, big office buildings that are housing or were housing federal employees. So that's just going to add to the glut. As you see asset prices come down, then you have the problem of the doom loop, if you will. People spend when they look at their 401k statement and say, oh, look, I made another $25,000 or $50,000 last month. So they go out and they feel good and they spend. And the reverse of that is they look at their statement and their account's down $25,000, $50,000, $100,000, whatever. They're going to spend less. So it's a doom loop, if you will. And it's totally predictable. I mean, they could have predicted this in 1913 when the Federal Reserve was created. And it's my opinion that the Federal Reserve was created to do exactly and to get us exactly where we are right now.
And Janet Yellen's a more recent version of that. That feels like a controlled demolition to bring the debt's term and time, such a wall of rollovers when you're now at your most indebted. Right. I mean, it's just completely contrary to survival. It's a self-destructive mechanism, but it's like after me the storm, because it'll be on your watch, which tells me that they'd already planned the change of the guard. And again, in our presentation, ironically, most recessions, and we were saying you don't get normal recessions anymore, fall on Republicans. But that doesn't mean it's all because of the Republican. Three times as many fall on Republicans. There's about 18 versus six in terms of all the historical recessions. So it looks like Trump's going to wear the can for this collapse. I can't see us getting through his presidency without this major demand-destroying event that has contagion on it. Can you see us getting to another president without it happening?
No, I agree with that. I think it comes down during this administration. I would say that whoever, whatever happens with a next administration, life is going to look entirely different than it does today. And that is a function of, I mean, I guess basically you could say that what we've been talking about to this whole, through this entire conversation is the reset, because the system needs to be reset. Asset values are not correct against each other. Government bloat and staffing is not the correct size and can't be carried over a long period of time. It was carried over a long period of time, and where did it get us? It got us to a point of, in my opinion, mathematically no return.
Yeah. Yeah. And in that disinflationary event, what should people expect? Gold? So here's what I've noticed, Bill, and I want your take on this. Gold, I think, is the safest hold, because in a major demand-destroying event, actually you're going to have prices fall on everything that isn't nailed down, which will include silver, platinum, and other things. And in fact, the best buy for silver was during the CV19 collapse. You could have picked it up for just over $11, and then it promptly squirted all the way up to the 30s. You got a quick 3x straight away. It feels to me on the gold-silver ratio, gold is staying the boss, because the central banks and the institutions are the buyer of that one, and that it's only in the event of collapse we're going to see the true cork being lifted on silver. And I feel platinum, because of the industrial component, because industry and consumer is very wrecked, they're underperforming now, but the subsequent potential solution, which may in fact even roll us into UBI and CBDCs, but it feels that the unleashing is actually the full unleashing, the uncorking of this party really only gets started after we get this disinflationary spell. That's not that, and before you answer that, that's not that you should hope to be able to buy silver cheap, because you could get unobtainium and everything else. You should hold your silver. You should have investment silver. But I feel that there might also be a lot of people that haven't factored in the contagion effects and the knock-on effects that have leverage on their properties and cars that might be forced sellers at a retail level of even their silver, that think they metal heads, precious metal heads, only to realize, well, it's either a rent check or this long-term asset that'll hopefully go up, and they become forced sellers. So we could get a buy opportunity if you are suitably insulated from what will probably be a far bigger event than most people think. How do you scenario cast that?
You're already seeing that in North America. In my career, I've never seen as much retail selling as we've seen over the last 3 or 4 months. And I think that's a function of prudent people who bought gold and silver are distressed and have run out of bank balances and have been liquidated. I do want to point out that back during COVID-19, as far as I know, no one in North America bought physical silver anywhere under $15 an ounce. Didn't matter. I think the price got down to 10, 80 or whatever. You could not buy physical silver under $15. So they could do what they want with the COMEX, with LBMA. It doesn't matter. You couldn't get silver in hand for less than $15. And I think the ratio of 90 to 1, that is going to be reset in a huge way, because I think silver is more manipulated than gold. It's been locked down because they cannot allow silver to break higher because that will excite gold. And the whole goal is to keep the price of gold down because it is the main competitor to U.S. Treasuries. And in a defaulting scenario, what do you want to own? A piece of paper that's issued by an insolvent, a bankrupt entity? Or do you want to own something created by God that cannot bankrupt, and the labor, capital, and equipment have already been used to create that coin or bar or what have you? So the competition, it's going to end up in the paper, paper fails versus gold, and the entire everything's going to reset. Real estate pricing, equity pricing, interest rates, currencies, commodities versus other commodities, everything is going to reset. And I mean, I am more bullish on silver than gold or anything else. I think silver is the least expensive, most undervalued asset on the planet. Yes, it does have industrial use. Yes, it has technological use. It has medicinal uses. I mean, the amount of uses for silver, silver is used for more things than any other commodity on the planet. And I believe silver is going to come into the system rather than go out of the system from a monetary standpoint. It would not surprise me to see China. I mean, China historically has been a silver country. It would not surprise me to see China say, okay, we're revaluing our gold and we're adding silver to that basket of backing. And by the way, the pricing at 90-1 is ridiculous. It should be 45-1 or 30-1 or whatever. But I think they're going to revalue silver. Silver's going to win the race of purchasing power.
Yeah, I can't help but see that happening. But you do see the possibility also of distressed retail being eventually squeezed out. Essentially, the Federal Reserve is there to create volatility, to force the retail out at the lows so that they can scoop up all the money and then get them back in at the pumped highs and repeat. And do you see the possibility of one loss, even though cash, I take your point about premiums and cash, I don't think we'd maybe get 15, maybe we get a $17 or a $19 price, but you might have premiums of, who knows where. So could we have another bargain basement sale if the crisis is big enough, bearing in mind that this is the other thing. I'll just add a bit of color to that question before you answer. Here's what I'm getting from the dealers, and I'm sure you've got your own insights and own points of feedback. The dealers say they've been struggling to get supply on both gold as well now. They never used to have problems with gold. Now it's a bit more sticky since everything that went in the UK, and on silver. But at the same time, they've never had such little and light demand from retail, consumer wrecked, and
right,
the macro guys hoovering up all the metals. So you've actually got the thinnest market at the moment. And we all know in technical analysis, good volume of both buyer and seller participation makes for a solid, well-supported price. When you get
right
pricing, just very lightly supported by both supply and demand, and you've only got nibbling because you've got a wrecked consumer who can barely afford it, especially when we're talking silver, because it's not the gold, it's the later mover, people can't afford gold, etc. That's what I'm hearing from the dealers. Are you hearing the same? And do we get some form of a bargain price if the crisis is big enough?
Yeah, I think it's very possible we have one last dump. I personally don't think that's going to happen, but it's certainly possible because, like you said, the dumps are orchestrated. It's my guess that because of the talk of revaluing the Fort Knox gold and because of geopolitical events at this point, I don't see much downside to gold and thus not much gold downside to silver, simply because, if you want to call it, there's a put under the market, and that put is the fear or potential of a revaluation. So I don't think you're going to see big sellers. Now, as far as availability. There's two markets. There's the retail market, and then you got the institutional or central bank market. That market is extremely tight. I can tell you from a retail standpoint, metal is abundant, and the buyers aren't there. I mean, like I said, I've never seen in my career what's happened over the last 3 or 4 months as far as the amount of selling. And it's going to be interesting to watch whether or not we get a, like what I was talking about before, a weekend event where basically LBMA and COMEX are basically shut down. Everybody pays up, the casino closes. And simply because they do not have the supply, they don't have the inventory of what's going to come, the mass amount of credit, of debt that gets sold. Where's that capital going to go to in a fear, in a panic moment? So yes, we've been trained to expect, oh, we're going to have a recession. Watch, silver's going to go down to $9. Silver's going to go down to $11. You can't buy it at those prices, but it doesn't matter. It's the optics. So we've been trained to expect that. And it would not shock me to see that not happen at all. COMEX and LBMA are instructed to basically square up the books. And then Monday morning, it's, you know, prices, it'll take some time for pricing, for true price discovery. It may take 3 days, a week, 2 weeks. I don't know how long it'll take. But true price discovery is going to come because the foundation, the financial foundation of the world are U.S. treasuries. And that's going to crack in half. And that's going to be replaced, in my opinion, by metal, and I'm not saying one-to-one, but a ratio backing to the currencies, to the debt. It's the only way. It'll be the only way to salvage, if you will, any confidence.
With the reval discussion, the only reason I can't see this being done by the U.S. is because it benefits more the other nations that clearly have more likely provable and possibly higher number of holdings, whilst we all have our suspicions about hypothecation. Will it really be theirs, even if they do a big show and tell, walk around, and they've imported them all? It's the suspicion between you and I think, is pretty much, if we pull the curtain back, what's still really owned that hasn't been hollowed out is very little. That's why I don't see it as an American playbook. But could it be something, and very difficult for it to do, but could it come from China or Russia, when they now say, this is our take and this is what we're prepared to pay for physical precious metals. And right. That then revalves their book at the expense of America, who won't actually have any gold to sell because it's either hypothecated or not available or belongs to someone else.
Yeah, if the US did it, it's extending, in my opinion, the lie. I think if China or Russia were going to do that, they would have already done it. But doing it is an act of war, because basically you're undercutting the treasuries, you're undercutting the dollar. It's my opinion that the drip, drip, drip that you've seen with inventories being gobbled up. I mean, just look at February for gold. I think that was the biggest delivery ever off of COMEX for gold. You've got already, what, I think it's 60 million ounces for silver for March, and we're not even at the end of the month. In the old days, that number used to shrink going into the end of the month. No longer, for the last 4 or 5 years, that number expands going into the final delivery day. So you've got another, you know, now you've got silver that they're worried about this month, followed by April gold, which traditionally is a huge delivery month. So, I mean, this could be done by, if you want to call them covert traders, that are funded by Asia, funded by Russia, you could see the failure to deliver happen this month, next month, who knows? But there's going to be a failure to deliver, because the bottom line is there's too much paper outstanding that's chasing the safety of physical metal.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's right. I just see it can't be America to do it, though, because I just think it does too much damage. And I don't think the story is true on their side. They're going to be a pretend. Anything they do in the gold space is to pretend and can extend what's already going on. In fact, the people that will want to bring the truth. But I might say I have a counter potential view. The reason why maybe China and Russia haven't done it yet is because as long as America continues to print and pretend, they can stand back and soak up more. So it just brings the winning hand is going to earn them more chips in the end, the longer they hold out. So it's actually America is on a clock and the others have all the time in the world. And in fact, the longer America manages to keep the balls juggling with, Cayman Islands and Belgium and Luxembourg buying USTs and the UK, who's given all the gold up and is now buying treasuries. I mean, talk about the toxic bank nation. What a trade that is. The happier Russia and China will be. And it takes me back to that Kissinger, the gold moves from west to east phrase. And they're going to want to take it all. And as long as it goes, they keep buying. They keep mining. They keep accumulating here in Africa, even out of the subsistence mines that are like the black gold mines, you could call it, or the blood diamond type mines for gold. So they're just going to keep getting it because they're getting richer, surely. But I don't know who brings it out. It is an act of war. It'll be financial war. Right. But I don't know what America can do, because at the moment, the military industrial complex is going to be right-sized. The one thing that the U.S. always had, they had the might. But the might is entirely dependent on the ability to sustain that might with the maintenance of costs of just existing. I mean, the F-35, 9 hours of maintenance for 1 hour of flight. $109 billion apiece. I mean, I can see those. This is my vision. I did it in that thing. I hope not. I don't wish it on America. But I can see those in those graveyards in Arizona with all the copper and silver wiring stripped out of them. They're just too impossible, too expensive, too buggy to maintain. And in 10 years' time, you'll have a lot smaller Air Force and a lot smaller military. And it'll be a very much more multipolar war, and just protecting your borders will be the extent of American ambition at certainly a military level, instead of what they were post-World War II when everyone else was destroyed and there was the unipower and post-Soviet Union, glasnost, perestroika era. And again, I'm not trying to be a bear and black pill and hurt. I don't wish this for the American people. They're my favorite people. But what the parasitic government controllers have done and set up through the Federal Reserve, this is what they are planning, and that's the net effect thereof. Do you concur?
Basically, yes, but I do think there is a way for the U.S. To revalue gold, even if they come out and they say, yeah, all the gold's there, and they revalue the gold, and even if it's not there, it doesn't really matter. And the reason I say that is it's my opinion that the safest haven to run a mining operation has been North America. And it would not shock me to see the mines nationalized in the United States. But what would that look like with $50,000 gold or $100,000 gold? It wouldn't take, but it would take 10 or 20 years of mining and that metal being sold to the treasury. But I mean, that's the way to build up the reserves, the gold reserves in the United States. And it's just my guess is that before this is done, you are going to see some nationalizations.
But if we look at the trajectory, the people that have controlled the game have clearly set out in a path of destruction. This is a controlled demolition. What you described is a much more noble group of people that are inherent on restoring the base of wealth to America and the American people and would use a slightly communistic nationalization strategy. But this is not who we have in charge. This is not their thinking. And it's almost as if it's a slash and burn. It's a disposable nation mentality rather than rebuild it. Okay, we made a bunch of mistakes. Let's fix that. I don't see that. Although what Trump and Elon right now are doing are technically what we really could have had someone do 2 decades ago. And if you'd had that done consistently, you might be in a far better place. It does feel like it's more going to prove to be the accelerant of the collapse now in the name of doing the right thing. And the cost of that will be, you see, capitalism doesn't work, all the center-right policies. Here's the socialist model where everybody gets taxed a certain amount, every UBI, et cetera, et cetera. That's how I feel. We'll take the message of center-rightism is wrong, capitalism is wrong, this right-sizing was inequitable, it was racist, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, and the cultural Marxism makes its comeback with the associated economic policies and all the CBDC. If we want to be all equal, we need to know that you haven't got more peanuts in the jar than the next guy. And all of this socialist welfare doctrine.
Yeah, understand, Francis. You're saying, you know, that there's people out there that are purposely trying to destroy the system. That's absolutely correct. And I mean, let's just pick a name, George Soros. Do you not think George Soros is like loaded to the gills with gold along with his short sales against currencies?
I absolutely expect it to be. I think it's the trade you'll never talk about, but that he's got on as big as he knows how. And I expect Yellen the same. I expect Greenspan the same. Greenspan knows what gold meant. You know what he said before. We know what he then behaved later. It's what's good for the nation they're poisoning, but what's good for them is very, very different. I'm sure he'll love to have his personal bags pumped up with a sudden discovery of the truth of money. But I just don't know if that saves a nation when they've actively set about poisoning a nation to enrich themselves.
No, it does not save a nation. There's no question about it. I mean, they clearly want the system to come down. And this is something that like my past business partner, Jim Sinclair, used to talk about. He always said, when the time comes, the shorts who have harassed gold and harassed silver for all these years, they'll be the ones who make the most money because they will be the most long.
I agree with Jim, and I think he's spot on. And I think, as you say, many of the names we've just mentioned know exactly what's going on, know exactly what they've been working towards and the effect of their actions, and know exactly what the cure is. It's just something you'll never hear them say in public. And right. I think that conversation that you and I can imagine, but haven't had the benefit of eavesdropping on in those hallowed halls, is what everyone should visualize and recognize they've got to not get washed out. My biggest story and why I also point to the difference between Bitcoin and gold, and I know you have some thoughts to share on that as well, especially given we've had this reserve asset talk, is that gold dropped 4%. It didn't even drop 5% on the yen carry trade unwind and then immediately traded beyond where it fell from and higher. Similarly, even in CV19, which was a mammoth shutting down of the globe, its reduction was minor and it actually took one step back to go 6 forward. It's actually a good thing. It's like taking a run up and doing a longer jump. It's just going to give you more to the upside. So anything you take from it on the downside, you multiply by 5 on the upside. Bitcoin in that yen trade lost in excess of 30%. It traded 70, it woke up at 49, and it was fast, furious, low liquidity. No matter what Michael Saylor alleges to be doing with billions and billions of his dollars and buying and announcing all these purchases, there was no bid in the bid stack then. It lost 30 straight percent and hasn't gone easily much higher until a lot later. So the downside beta asset value of gold is what's the best buy pre the demand destroying event, in my opinion. The alpha pursuit is the one you want while you're in it and just coming out of it. That's the silver and platinums. That's my framing anyway. It's very simplistic. There's more to say on all of that, but Characterize your take, because the you know, the freedom tokens are all abound. He's also mentioned Cardano, XRP, which are clearly all status, Solana, which is a very venture cap banker token, and then of course Bitcoin and Ethereum in this reserve fund. This looks like Trump, while watching the central bankers going to real money gold, doesn't want to talk too much about gold himself and is actually trying to put the new fancy shiny derivative alternative option in front and maybe pump it up with some debt money to a very high market cap and then traject that and say, look, it's worth half what we owe. You know, we've got this doggy coin, or the, you know, equivalent of. What's your take on the current politics? Because that's certainly not sound money in my books.
Yeah, no, it's not sound money at all. It's my guess is it's sleight of hand. Let me just say that, you know, Bitcoin, other cryptocurrencies, they have been a great circulation. But when the clock stops, people are going to find out that it is nothing. It is a perfect accounting system for digital nothing or digital error or whatever you want to call it. I call it voodoo finance. I don't know what you want to call it, but I mean, it's like creating something for nothing. And that's not possible or not the case. And I do want to point out that the worst time to own gold is during a period of time of either disinflation, no stress on the system. Gold does well during inflation, but the best time to own gold is during deflation. When credit is evaporating and going poof in a black hole, that is the best time to own gold, because you're purchasing, you gain more purchasing power during deflation, during a credit collapse, than any other time. And that makes sense, because, yeah, think about this, Francis. Historically, if you knew a recession was coming next year, what would you do? You build up your cash reserves. But in the old days, cash was gold. Cash was silver. Now, in today's world, okay, so you built up a ton of cash. The problem is, in a debt collapse, cash is actually trash, because the cash itself is backed by credit. It's backed by debt. So, I mean, that is like the very heart or the very core of the reset. The reset is going to be toward money, toward unencumbered, unleveraged money. And I mean, I would just say, I think the best thing that people could do is get as defensive as you can. If you have to own stocks, and this is going to go, I'm kind of going off topic here, but I think it's important that people really take the 1 hour you need to either watch the interview or read The Great Taking. It's not bullshit. Those laws are in place all over the world, and they've been put in place because they're going to use those laws. And those laws will be used when the system comes down. And I mean, you could own your house outright, but you got money in the bank, you got money in the broker, money with an insurance company. So the system comes down, your house is paid for, but guess what? You got nothing to pay the taxes with. So you need to get as much of your capital out of the system and have as little debt or no debt as possible. You need to prepare for a 200-mile-an-hour hurricane that's going to come through and leave nothing standing. The only thing standing financially will be the core money, which is gold and silver.
100% agree, and I think they have a plan for us. I'm going to finish on one more question, and then we'll sign off, Bill. In the event of all these things happening, of course, the income tax is going to drop immensely. And the more you do accounting sensible things and reduce government employees, the more you kill the economy, the more, less people are buying. Right. So you're going to get this. We've both spoken. You used the phrase death loop. I used a spiral inwards. But they're both talking about the exact same thing. You get a knock-on multiplier effect that continues the contraction. In the same way, the financial leverage that Greenspan facilitated started the boom of everything post-Volcker, and every Fed chair since just accelerated that same expansionism. When that happens, we're going to have what I've described. I've come up with the phrase. It's my phrase. I want to copyright it. But government's going to go into scavenger mode on their own citizens for tax extraction. And this is part of their corporate Marxism of devaluing everybody to the lowest common denominator, which is perfect for the UBI welfare reduction. There can't be too many crabs that escape the bucket, et cetera, et cetera. This earthquake's got to swallow everybody so that we get to be the savior of everybody. If somebody is self-reliant, he's actually a problem because he undermines, he stands up as a hero to the people, and he needs crushing and dragging down like the rest. And they're going to use the politics of envy and all of these other things immensely. They're going to weaponize people that aren't prepared against those that prepared properly. So here's a thought of how they might play this out, because this is, again, future-proofing for the best possibility to protect our viewers against this outcome. The more people we get that are in our camp, the more resistance we'll be able to offer when this happens. So here's something I've thought. They're going to scavenger mode. You've heard Yellen, who's another corporate criminal of great note, reference unrealized capital gains. So if one nation, let's say we can't agree if it's America, China, or Russia, triggers some form of reval, and it's a major step deval in the currencies. Okay, gold's 100,000 or it's 10,000. It's any point in between. Maybe it's 200,000 to future-proof them for a couple more generations this time so that they don't have to pull this Ponzi scheme. There's some number that'll come, and maybe there'll be multiple actually in short formation. They might just do it in contagion and say, well, we have to do this again very quickly. Who knows? But that all happens, and you and I and many watching the show are sitting on the silver and gold. They don't have debts. They haven't been thrown out of their homes. They had enough savings to go 6 months when they did a shutdown and there were no business and no income. We've done everything right. We've survived. There's millions around us that haven't. And then they're going to start with the divide and conquer and the unrealized capital gains and everything else, the confiscation, the equitability, et cetera, et cetera. And you'll be forced to declare, or you'll go dark on certain assets. There'll be like a Gestapo rat out your mate incentive scheme, just like we had in COVID. Tell us if someone's being irresponsible. We've seen what people got up to in CV19, and it's worrying. It's deeply worrying. And I know your view doesn't differ greatly from mine. So with all that said, they're going to come for us in spite of everything we do, because it's not in their interests that we are self-preservational. And what's your take on how we protect on that?
They were going to come at us because of what we do, because of what we've done, because we're self-reliant. Yeah, there's no question about it. You're talking about the unrealized capital gain tax. If they were to do that, and even for a small portion of the world, you're basically destroying capitalism right there.
I mean, capitalism. I think they will do that, though.
Pardon?
I think they're happy to do that. I think that's exactly what they're happy to do. They want to knock the final nail in capitalism. They're bringing in a technological, oligarchical, electronic, digital communism, in essence.
I agree. They're happy to. They will be happy to do that, but the result will be that's the end of capitalism. You know, certainly during our and probably our children's lifetimes.
Yeah, but I can't help but feel that we will have played our hand as best as we can, but the guy can still tip the table over when you got the winning hand and all the chips go to the floor.
Yeah, they will. I've said that all along, is that my thought process was they were going to have to kick the table over to basically make it so chaotic that the fraud, the theft, etc., is in the back of people's minds, because they're more interested in What am I going to eat today? As opposed to these people need to go to jail. So I agree 100%. Kicking the table over, that is part of the of what comes.
Yep. And that's why I think people still need to think about other things outside of the gold realm in terms of how many options they have outside of the West, and a lot of reset, kind of pretty prepper type things where you have some arbitrage. That said, there's a pretty synchronized game going on everywhere. We saw that with the World Health Organization, but you still have a little bit more optionality. And what I've watched is the communist nations have become more capitalist as the capitalist nations have become more a socialist. So we're getting this thesis, antithesis, and we're getting this merging into synthesis. You actually get lower tax rates in Russia. I think you get about 15% personal and 20% corporate tax. I mean, it's almost, yeah, time to move there almost. And I think in some sense, yeah.
It's reverse.
Yeah. And in some senses, someone was telling them, I mean, Martin Armstrong did quite a critical article or whatever on China. And he said it was totally free to read and it was available. You had more freedom of speech in some ways in China. Yes, there's some things you can't criticize Z or do too many humors about whatever his proclivity or sexual habits are or various other certain things. But outside of that, it's a free fall. And they've actually said, oh, you criticize. Yeah, yeah, that can go. That's fine. You say what you want. So it's almost like we've been sold entirely that these other nations are complete. You know, ours is the ultimate nation, the ultimate rules, the ultimate freedoms. And in actual fact, people need to take a closer look at what slowly, it's a boiled frog on that direction. Right. And it's actually a cooling frog that was in a hot pot on the other side. There will be a time to jump or to contemplate at least having some assets or some optionality. You don't have to move. Maybe you look at residencies. And that's, I suppose that's the angle. And I know you said it's going to be hard for you to lead the states. You're rooted down. But what's your take on that? How will you cope?
Yeah, I've made the decision that I'm going to stand where I am now. I mean, I'm back in late 2006, I left the country with my family expecting what was going to happen in 2007, 2008, 2009. While I was there, I began to understand that they really don't like gringos. They smile at us because we spend money, but they don't really like us. And to go somewhere else where you are an outsider and the Western financial system comes down, I think you're at a massive disadvantage because you don't talk like them. You don't look like them. You're understood to be different than them. And I mean, in Costa Rica, you didn't have to have any assets at all. You could be living on $2,000 a month Social Security and they'd view you as rich. You're going to be overrun. So, I mean, I've made the decision that I am going to run this. I'm going to ride this show in Texas, shoulder to shoulder with like-minded people. And I would just say that I think people should start thinking about if you have any way to do it. If you're in a city, you're dead. But if you're anywhere outside of a city, get and tend to chickens. You know, if you're further out, do pigs, do cattle, you know, do greenhouses, grow your own food. That's where this is going to boil down to. It's going to boil down to the most basic of basics, and that's being able to have clean water and food to survive to the next day to fight the battle all over again. And I mean, if you're in a city, you're dead. And I don't even really want to get into that, but if you're in a city, you're not going to eat.
Yeah, no, you're totally relying on the food chain. I'm going to leave that one there because, as you say, it gets into prepper territory. Thank you so much for what was once again a fascinating discussion and sharing your views. Tell everybody watching this right now, how can they engage with your good self, Bill Holter?
Sure. You can go to my website. It's just billholter.com. There is a contact button there if you want to contact me directly regarding precious metals business. You can go to my business email. It's bholter@proton.me.
Awesome. Excellent. And Bill, a final parting message for everyone watching.
Do the best you can. And only you know if you're doing the best you can.
I think that's awesome and simple. Thanks so much for coming on. And thanks again for the great value. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Francis.